This is a thing, you know, I have the pleasure of having Tim Corbin on every week during the baseball season. And, you know, this is where they are right now, the position that they find themselves in. It's not like it's an accident. It's not like a team getting hot at the right time. This team has just been hot, period, all year long. I mean, and I go back to this current stretch with the win against Mississippi State on Wednesday. This team is now 32-3 in their last 35 games. And most of those games we're talking about against opponents ranked in the top 25 in the country.
Yeah, it's amazing what they've done this year. And I think it just speaks to their depth. I mean, they've got depth in their, obviously, in their pitching staff with their bullpen, and obviously their starters are good. I mean, name me a hotter pitcher right now in the country than Kumar Rocker, right, after his last couple of starts. And it's, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's that lineup, man. Any number of guys can kill you in that lineup on any given night. You know, you had Steven Scott hitting a couple home runs the other day. They've got, you know, obviously Bode, we know what he can do, but there's, you know, they kind of remind me of the Yankees now that they've got Encarnacion. You know, who are you going to pitch around in that lineup? So they've been red hot for a long time, and, you know, they have the belief now, and not only are they talented, and you know this as well as I do, Johnny, they're just a resilient bunch, and I just don't see a team, anybody beating them twice as we go forward here in the CWS. But if it turns out to be Vanderbilt, Michigan, look out, because that's going to be a great, great final.
I mean, you're right about it. It's not just one or two superstars. You know, eight players, starting with Austin Martin, who's batting still over 400 for the season, are eight guys batting 279 or better. And then you had add to that fact that you mentioned J.J. Bode, SEC Player of the Year, the tournament SEC tournament MVP. But this team generally likes each other, you know, and I've had a chance to have Austin Martin. I've had J.J. Bode on a couple of times, Drake Fellows, Steven Scott. The bottom line is, you know, sometimes we see teams that win games, but they don't necessarily respect each other. There's jealousies. They don't necessarily like each other. This team absolutely loves each other. And it's certainly one of the characteristics about this team is the reason why we keep talking about the consistent play that we've been getting out of this squad all year long.
You're 100% right, Johnny. I mean, you know, you're talking to a kid who grew up following the Yankees in the 1970s when you had the Bronx Zoo and Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson almost coming to blows in the Red Sox dugout, and, you know, Thurman Munson and the problems he had with Reggie, and, you know, so many problems on that team. But, you know, they won in spite of that. Here with Vanderbilt, you're right. Everybody likes each other. The older guys really help out the younger guys, and the younger guys certainly appreciate that. And it's just great chemistry. And again, it's that belief, it's that resiliency that this team has. Oh, by the way, they're pretty darn talented too. So you add that all up, and here they are, one win away from the College World Series final, a chance to win another national championship like they did in 2014.
You know, you're in the real world, and by the way, Texas Tech and Michigan has that game has now gone final. Michigan winning 15-3, so it will be Michigan taking on the winner of Vanderbilt, Louisville. Vanderbilt wins tonight, then it will be Vanderbilt on Monday against Michigan. If Louisville wins, it forces one more game between Vanderbilt and Louisville coming up tomorrow night at 6. But, you know, it's one thing, you know, that, you know, you go through your ups and downs in life, right? And so you have your highs, you have your lows. The things that these players have to go through, especially if you're a part of Vanderbilt, this is one of the things that you kind of, you know, you've grown accustomed to, not necessarily making the College World Series every year, but certainly making the NCAA tournament and making a run to be in this position. And I bring it up because, you know, you think about individually what these guys, 13 players, right, earlier this month, they get drafted. So that impacts them from a life standpoint. For the seniors, right, you just wrapped up your studies, so you're graduating, so you got that behind you. And you also have to deal with the business at hand, knowing that you've got a target on your back as the number two overall national seed in the NCAA tournament. To me, I think it's understated the job that Tim Corbin and that staff, what they do, getting everybody to buy in, what they're preaching. I mean, how many times have you heard coaches after practice tell the players, don't do anything to embarrass yourself, your family, your teammates, the school, and how many get arrested on the weekends? These are things that we don't talk about with regards to the Vanderbilt baseball players. And the fact that they have all of these things that pulling at them emotionally, whether it's being drafted or the other kind of distractions, yet they seem to always put it behind them and find ways to take care of business the next time out.
Yeah, and it's a lot different from when we were their age, right, Johnny? I mean, there's social media. There's all kinds of
Absolutely.
Different distractions pulling at these guys. And they keep it all together. And you talk to these guys, like you've talked to several of the players. I've talked to several of the players throughout the season. They're just polished young men. Now, you know, and I think a lot of that comes from the top. It comes from Tim Corbin. You know, he's more than just a baseball coach. He's a life coach. He's a dad to a lot of these guys. And I think he takes a lot of pride in that, and not only showing them the right way to play the game, but also the right way to conduct yourself outside of the game. And look, these guys all have a great advantage, right? They're going to have Vandy sheepskin on their wall, so they're going to have opportunities to be successful in life, whether it's in pro baseball or another endeavor. But it all starts from the top. And I know Tim Corbin takes a lot of pride in being, like I said, not just a baseball coach, but a life coach for these young men.
And I like the fact, too, we talked about this during basketball season, and, you know, there's not necessarily a lot of grads of Lipscomb University, for example. But one thing I love about Nashville, Middle Tennessee, they love a good sports story. They love a story that they can wrap their arms around from a human interest standpoint. And I love the fact that they were paying attention with Lipscomb's run in the NIT, for example. And we saw it last week with Vanderbilt's first game against Louisville on Sunday. The fact that people were paying attention on Father's Day when you had other things going on. You had the U.S. soccer team playing. You had the final round of the U.S. Open. Yet a strong following and watching Vanderbilt in their contest against Louisville on Sunday. And that's what I love about this area, where they know a good story. You know, you don't have to be a fan of college baseball to appreciate the job this team and what Tim Corbin means to this city.
And they do mean a lot to this city, Johnny. You're absolutely right. I remember back in 2014 how excited the city was when they won the national championship. And, you know, with the run that they're on now, whether I'm at the gym or I'm at a restaurant or I'm just tooling around town, you know, you have people that, you know, recognize what I do for a living and who I am, and they come up and say, hey, how about Vanderbilt? You know, isn't that great? Yeah, it's great, because you have people, and I've talked to Coach Corbin about this, you know, you have people that have never, that are from Nashville or live in Nashville, and never even set foot on the Vanderbilt campus, but they're behind this team, not only because they're winning, I mean, everybody loves a winner, we know that, but also just the fact, the way that they win, you know, the class and dignity that they show, and how polished they are as young men, and what a great guy Tim Corbin is, in addition to being a great coach. It's a great story. It's a story that Nashville can get behind. I mean, you know, for most of us, our first love of sports was baseball. I know it was for me. And so, you know, it's a story you can get behind. And I think the city loves these guys, and obviously the university loves these guys as well. And it's not only just a Vanderbilt story, but it's also a Nashville sports story. And, you know, it's exciting to see the run that they're on, and we'll see how far they can take it.
John Burton joining us again. Speaking of nice Nashville, Middle Tennessee stories, the NBA draft was held last night. And, you know, the usual suspects. We expect Duke. We expect Kentucky, right? I love the fact that Dylan Windler from Belmont, getting his name called, 26th pick overall by Cleveland. And I was kind of hoping, you know, we understood that Ja Morant from Murray State of the OVC was going to the Grizz with the second overall pick. But there was parts of me that was hopeful that somehow Grant Williams from Tennessee would have ended up with the Grizzlies as well.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. You know, it would have been a great story, but you know, I think Grant Williams is going to a pretty good situation in Boston with the Celtics, and obviously they're a team undergoing some changes right now, and they need some good young players to come in and make an impact right away. But, you know, you mentioned Dylan Windler. What a story he is. And, you know, to me, I thought, you know, yeah, obviously had a great career at Belmont, but just the fact that he played so well in that one NCAA tournament game with everybody watching, you know, the game against Maryland, 35 points, I think 11 rebounds, hit 7 3-pointers. I mean, he showed range. He showed that he's fearless going to the basket. He can put the ball on the floor. He can create his own shot. We know the fact that he can spread the floor and hit threes. He proved to me in that game that he has NBA game, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, they need shooters in the worst way. And to pick up, you know, Darius Garland and Dylan Windler in one round of the NBA draft, that speaks well for them. I'm a guy that keeps up, you know, with the Cleveland Cavaliers and quite a bit. And I thought they made a great haul last night. But yeah, I mean, Garland, you knew that this guy, when he's healthy, he was going to be an NBA ready type player, but man, you got to be happy for Dylan Windler. It just speaks to, you know, his drive, his ability, and he's going to get a great opportunity to make a nice living and have a nice career in the NBA.
Yeah, that's the, you know, with Garland being taken fifth overall by Cleveland, but just a handful of games from Vanderbilt, it's like it would have been interesting to see what he would have meant if he could have played a full season.
Well, I know Bryce Drew was probably thinking that. Right.
Absolutely.
You know, it may or may not have cost him his job, but yeah, you're right. They were 4-0 before he got hurt. They're playing Kent State, and obviously, you know, you look back at some of those close SEC losses that the Commodores had over the winter. You know, I think of the first Tennessee game here in Nashville at Memorial Gym. I think the Commodores definitely win that game if a healthy Darius Garland's on the floor, and so many close losses where you just needed that one guy to kind of take over the game and kind of run the show, and Garland certainly, I think, would have provided that. So, yeah, it's one of those things where we sit back and say, what could have been had Darius not injured his knee in that game against Kent State?
You know, a couple years ago, we were talking about the breakout season, Kevin Byard with the Tennessee Titans being named to the Pro Bowl, All-Pro player. Last year, breakout season, obviously, with what Derrick Henry was able to do, and he certainly captured not only the Titans fans' attention, but also the NFL world as well. Is there one guy that you feel like can be that breakout player for the Titans in 2019? I know who they're hoping it is going to be. I think they're hoping it's going to be Marcus Mariota finally, but
sure. Yeah. Yeah, if you're a Titans fan, you're definitely hoping the Ocho can really have that breakout season. But you know, I look at the guys they drafted last year. I look at Rashawn Evans. I really thought he started playing well at middle linebacker once he got healthy and into the lineup for a number of games. And you know, listen, with Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan gone, they're going to need, you know, to get some heat from the outside on that pass rush. So Harold Landry III is a guy I'm going to be keeping my eye on through training camp in the preseason. You know, he's a guy that says he's worked on some new pass rush moves and, you know, developed some new pitches, not just the fastball. And you need that as an outside, you know, edge rusher in the NFL. All the greats have multiple moves. So I think those young linebackers need to step up, and I think they're capable of doing that. So right now I would say it's a tie with those two. And I'm really excited for A.J. Brown, too. I really think that this is a guy that if he can find his niche in the Titans offense, can really be that lid lifter for opposing defenses and a deep threat for Marcus. So, you know, some good young players on this team, some good young veterans like Byard, who you mentioned. But, you know, you lose a lot of veteran leadership when you lose guys like Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo. So these young guys are going to have to step up and step up in a hurry.
You know, it's interesting you brought up Rashawn Evans. You know, I go back to when Kevin Byard was drafted out of MTSU, and I remember my early conversations with him, and I made a point to, you know, talk to him almost after each and every game because I wanted to see where his mindset was as he developed as a player on and off the field. And the same thing, and certainly he remembers that, and he's done some amazing things that we really haven't talked about as far as, you know, helping in the community. He is a difference maker in the community, and he's certainly an asset as far as representing the Tennessee Titans out here in Middle Tennessee. But the same thing with Rashawn Evans. You know, it's interesting because early on people were like, what, this is going to be a bust, you know, first round draft pick. He doesn't know where he needs to be. But it was interesting talking to him after every game because I knew what he was going to be because I watched him and his days playing for Alabama. And once he stopped thinking and was just reacting because he was comfortable with where he needed to be, you knew good things were going to happen. And we started seeing that about midway through the season. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him shine in year two.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy, isn't he, both on and off the field. And you look at his career at Alabama, took a while before he became a starter, but he just kept working, stayed patient. And I think that's what he did last year, started the season, you know, got hurt in training camp, took him a while to get healthy and get back playing on a regular basis. And once he did, you could tell he picked up the defense right away. And he's a guy that I think can be a real impact player for the Titans for many years to come, and certainly one of the locker room leaders as well. And, you know, Delanie Walker's getting up there in age. You know, Jarrell Casey's probably starting the back nine of his career. Those guys are obviously two of the undisputed leaders of the Tennessee Titans. They're going to need young leadership. They have it in Byard, but I think Evans can be a guy, kind of a lead-by-example type guy. And I think Landry has that kind of capability as well. So I think from that standpoint, the Titans are in good hands. You just hope it, you know, translates into wins this fall and beyond.
It's always refreshing knowing that we're on the same page on all these different topics.